come unto me. And so I'm very happy to see all of you and that you have come. We thank you that you do hear our prayers. You hear our praises. We thank you for your presence here among us this morning. We thank you for the rain, and we thank you especially for the sunshine. And we just thank you for your presence in us and among us and through us this morning as we worship and hear your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And once again, welcome to worship. We're glad to see you today. How many enjoyed getting up an hour early? I don't see any hands. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you made it. If you see anybody coming in at the end of the service, you'll know that they didn't set their clocks forward. Please welcome them to the end of worship service today.
Will you pray with me? Great God, Father, Son, and Spirit, you alone are worthy of our praise and worship. You show us your glory in all creation, from sun-scented waves on rocky shores to redwoods whispering of serenity in great age, to a baby's sweet sleep. How awesome are your works! We adore your holiness and bow before you as your goodness overwhelms us. Your law is perfect, and your ways are pure. Your justice is righteous, and your commands true. We, however, are neither righteous nor pure, and we confess our many, many failings. You direct us to love our neighbors and serve the poor and wretched, to bind up the wounds of loneliness and rejection. Forgive our arrogance and selective love for neighbors we deem worthy of our attention. Forgive our indifference as we pass by the immigrant and the addicted. Forgive our hard-heartedness when we neglect those who's hurt and isolated among us. We are not what you created us to be, and we need your redemption in Jesus. Your Spirit alone can soften our hearts. You alone can cleanse us from our idolatry of power and money and self. Only you can empower us to set aside our egos and convenience and enter into true service to our community and our world. You desire our servanthood, not because we would earn your favor by what we do, but because you want us to become like your Son, to lay down our lives for your children wherever they are found. We are grateful for your gifts, great and small, for freedom to worship you and speak the truth without fear. We thank you for warm beds, clean water, and peaceful streets. We thank you for work that enhances our lives, for friendships that enrich our days. We thank you for music and dance, for celebrations and festive meals. We thank you. We give thanks for our church family, for each person who is a unique gift to this church, for those who love you and want our community to come to love you as well. We are grateful for what you have accomplished in our past, and we eagerly seek your revelation of the future you have planned for us. We are thankful that you call us to worship in service, and we ask that you would bring many hands and hearts to service worship Sunday. Show us colleagues and neighbors we could ask to join us so that they might become to know the church and its people as joyful and loving, not rigid or cruel. We ask your healing for those among us who are suffering in body, mind, and spirit. We ask your comfort for those who have lost those dearest to them. We ask your provision for those who are struggling with job loss and rising costs. We ask your reconciliation in those relationships that have been frayed by hurt or deception. We ask in confidence for these things, trusting you to provide what we need to grow and flourish. And as you taught your disciples to trust and to pray, we pray in the words you gave them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture text this morning on this first Sunday of Lent is Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. One of those texts that is incredibly familiar to us, and yet perhaps the profound nature of Christ's invitation still eludes us. Maybe this is a text that we've become too familiar with, that we actually don't realize how radical it is, what a challenge it can be, and what an extraordinary gift Christ offers when he extends this amazing invitation. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of God. Let's say thanks be to God. You look exhausted. Now, I'm not saying that to you because of the daylight savings thing, though, frankly, you do look exhausted, and I know I feel pretty exhausted at the moment. No, I'm inviting you to think about the last time somebody said that to you. Maybe at work, or when you came home from a long day at work. Somebody looks at you and says, "You look exhausted." What feelings come up to you? What's your initial reaction to that statement? I have to acknowledge that I always feel a little mix of feelings, right? On the one hand, it's a little embarrassing. I shouldn't look exhausted. I should look fresh and alert and together. So it kind of hits my ego a little funny that way. But there's this other part of me that's like, "Oh, I'm so glad you noticed. Because I could really use the sympathy." Or maybe in this really twisted up, passive-aggressive sort of way, it's my way of saying, finally somebody's going to acknowledge just how hard I'm working. You look exhausted. We have a funny relationship with that idea. And during my time of sabbatical last year, I was have opportunity to sit down and just reflect with some of my pastoral colleagues about the congregations that we serve and what we experience our congregations facing right now. And the word that came up was, our congregations are exhausted. They're just exhausted with life in general because we live such a frenetic, driven, anxious life. And then on top of that, you got to deal with church stuff. And I am one of those guys, as a pastor, I'm terrible at this. You know, if it's the job of the pastor to get people to do stuff, I just don't want to do it. I am way more inclined, somebody looks at me and goes, "I'm just tired." And I say, "Then stop." But somebody needs to do this. Duty, right? Duty. I need to do my duty. The company needs it. My team needs it. My family needs it. Somebody needs it. And so we keep giving and giving out of a resource that's being drained from us. And we do it out of duty, and we especially do it when it comes to church. I'm so grateful to the folks who agreed to spend 4 hours this afternoon doing some really important assessment work. And at the same time, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what kind of a monster am I? That I ask people to do this on daylight savings day. I'm tired already. I'm kind of working this hard, but I want to do that because I really want to emphasize just how much exhaustion is a part of our day-to-day life that we not only call normal, but we even call it good. And Jesus is entering into a debate and a way of being in the world that is challenging the system that keeps people exhausted and worn down and tired. Jesus is going to enter into this in some really challenging and provocative ways. And he's extending to all his hearers a radical invitation. An invitation to come to him. An invitation to take his yoke, to learn from him, and to find a deep rest that gets all the way into our bones. And I think I want to emphasize how much that goes against all of our cultural training, that goes against all of our inclination toward defining ourselves by what we produce or by how much we can accomplish, by what titles and roles we get to play, that Jesus is inviting us not to abandon all that. This isn't an invitation to laziness. This isn't an invitation to lethargy. This isn't an invitation to laissez-faire, just look, whatever happens, happens. But it is an invitation, indeed, to take a yoke, that is to do a particular kind of work, a kind of living, that enables us to live lightly. I think about this especially at this moment of Lent, when I'm supposed to be telling you to be basically do better at being a Christian, right? Lent is that time when we are supposed to give stuff up. Why? Why do we give stuff up at Lent? I think our inclination, based on what the culture teaches us, is that we give stuff up for Lent in order to prove that we're hardcore about Jesus. I want to suffer. Show Jesus that I'm really serious about following him. He gave up heaven. He gave up his very life for me. I want to prove to Jesus that I'm serious about this. Can you relate to that even a little bit? What if Lent is not, in fact, an invitation to give stuff up to prove to Jesus that you were worthy to have him die on the cross for you? But then Lent is actually the opportunity to give things up so that you can be more free. In Jesus' day, the burden that he's going to challenge is the burden of the religious establishment. He confronts the religious leaders of his day over and over again and says, "You are putting these huge, heavy burdens on the people. You are just laying on top of them obligation and rule after another, one thing after another, to say, if you're going to be a good Jewish person, you got to do all this stuff. But you don't lift a finger," he would say, "to support anybody else's load." And right after this amazing text that we'll next week look at the debate that he has about the nature of the Sabbath, about Sabbath rest. But today, I want to focus just on this invitation. And then I want to come back to it over and over again, because I believe that this is an invitation that's worthy of reflection and meditation for the whole of Lent, so that we can recognize and see in ourselves the things in which we have taken on somebody else's yoke and instead to take on the yoke that Jesus says. So there are four invitations, right? First invitation, come to me. Come to me. It is a radical statement. In fact, if you think about the Gospel of Matthew, it breaks into two halves. And the first half basically concludes at chapter 12. First half, one of my favorite teachers, Dale Bruner, says, is the Christ book. The first 12 chapters really describe the ministry of who Jesus is as the Christ, as the King, as the Messiah, as the one who's come. And then chapter 13 is the church book, how Jesus is going to teach the parables, walk the path, lead to Calvary, and then end with the Great Commission. So here we have Jesus is, in fact, culminating his teachings on who he is. And he is saying, I am the Son. I am the one who is in deep and intimate relationship with the Father. And I see what the Father's doing, and I know the Father's heart, and you can bank on me as a trustworthy expression and demonstration of what it is that God longs for you. So in light of that, in light of the claim that he makes at that moment, I am the Son, I'm here to tell you, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all of you people who are exhausted. And it's a pretty courageous thing to accept that invitation, isn't it? One of my favorite authors, Brené Brown, says it's really hard to give yourself permission to rest and to play or to entrust yourself to one who's inviting you to that kind of restfulness when you live in a culture that holds exhaustion as a status symbol. It's not a small invitation Jesus extends here to come to him. Come to me. I actually am going to redefine what it means to live a faithful life. I'm going to redefine what it means to live in faithful working abundance where you can live lightly, where you can learn how to hold life loosely, to stop clinging to things that you think are absolutely essential to your identity, to stop living compulsively, to stop living frenetically, to stop living according to somebody else's demands and agenda, somebody else's benchmark. You come to me, Jesus says. You who are heavy and weary laden, come to me. That's the invitation. And maybe that's the most important invitation for you to hear this morning. Jesus saying, I want you. I choose you. You matter to me. If you can relate to this feeling of just, I can't, I'm just tired of trying to do it in my own strength. I can't do it anymore. Good. Now you're ready. Now you're ready to be my disciple. Now you're ready to have me teach you how to live lightly. And I'm going to give you my yoke. Now the yoke was this image of the law. It was common. Everybody would have understood it. It's like, oh, Jesus is offering a completely different yoke, a different teaching, a different way of holding the scriptures, a different way of understanding our traditions, a different way of living in righteousness with God and with in human beings. He's going to teach us a new way. This is Jesus' invitation. Come to me, take my yoke, not the yoke of the Pharisees, not the yoke that's been placed upon you by others. I'm offering you this one. Take this yoke. And that invitation is funny, isn't it? Because it's clearly work, but it's a different kind of work. It's to bear a burden, but a different kind of burden. I think about the image of a harness that you would use to put on a horse or two horses, and how important it is to custom fit the harness to the horse. Otherwise, if it's loose fitting, if it doesn't fit properly, it's going to cause harm. It's going to cause damage. It's not going to be inefficient. It's not going to help the horse do the thing it really needs to do. So harnesses need to be custom made, custom fitted to the horse or to the ox in Jesus' day, right? I can just imagine what Jesus is saying. Take my yoke because I'm going to give you a yoke that is custom fit for you. Not somebody else's yoke. I'm not just handing out one size fits all yokes. I want you to come to me one-on-one, personally, and to take my yoke. And that falls really closely with the third invitation is to learn from me. I'm not just putting a yoke on you and then saying, go off and now go make me happy. Pull. Go. Just do it. He's saying, no, come and take this yoke and learn from me. And it's the very heart of how Jesus taught. Jesus didn't teach. He would proclaim the good news on the Sermon on the Mount. He would proclaim the good news broadly to the crowds, but then he would invite the disciples to work alongside of him. And the image that comes to my mind is of two horses or two oxen. And Jesus is basically saying, take my yoke upon me, and you and I are going to team together. I'm going to teach you how to live this life, not by lecturing you or preaching at you or scolding you, but by pulling with you. Jesus wants us to team with him, to wear that yoke together, so that we learn how to live as Jesus lives. To live Jesus. And what Paul will even go so far as to say later, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Jesus worked with his disciples in the Gospels to be alongside them and to mentor them, to apprentice them. He wants to apprentice you. He's inviting you to be an apprentice, to learn day by day, piece by piece, moment by moment, challenge by challenge, conversation by conversation, task by task, what it means to hold life lightly in trust that the Father of all good gifts is caring for you. And you can trust in that and carry that. Come to me, take my yoke, learn from me, and find rest for your souls. My hope is that as we journey through Lent together, that we will encounter a deep and abiding rest. It's not easy. Please don't misunderstand. It's really hard. It takes a lot of effort to look at your life honestly, to have the grace to take that yoke of grace that God says, I never intended for you to live like this. And if you're going to walk with me, you're going to want to let go of some things. What are you going to let go of? What are you not going to hold as compulsively? What are you going to surrender? Not because you're trying to prove anything to Jesus. You can't. You're not supposed to. That's not the kind of Lord that he is. That's not the kind of Savior Jesus is in our lives. No, instead to say, I do need to live more free. I need to live free in here. Which is why I'm going to stop looking at Facebook. I'm going to live free in here. Which means I'm going to turn off my phone and spend more time actually talking to the other human beings in my household. I'm going to live free in here, which means when everybody else is putting in extra hours to prove to each other or to the boss that they really are worth keeping around, I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray and I say, God, may I find my worth in you. Give me the ability to do the best work I can in the time I've given and then to trust that it's enough. these four invitations taken together are a radical expression of trust. Trust that the Father in heaven is enough. Trust that his Son, who calls you, invites you to come to him, is enough. Because if God's enough and Jesus is enough, then guess what? You're enough. Do you believe that you are enough? All the pain that we see in the world boils down to believing that I'm not enough, or God's not enough, or both. And then we just start to operate out of that compulsiveness, and all manner of trouble and hurt come out of that. This invitation, the one I'm going to bring us back to over the course of our Lenten season, the one I hope you'll memorize, the one I hope you'll take heart and meditate on it regularly through this Lenten season, just to come back to this. Of all the things that we think about for Lent, to think about in preparation for Easter, just remembering this is the call to discipleship. This is what it's supposed to look like, to memorize this. My hope is that as we do, you are going to discover not only that Jesus loves you, but Jesus likes you. This is the invitation of someone who says, I like you. I just think you're awesome. So come to me. I just want to hang out with you. I want to team with you. Take this yoke. Learn from me, because I want to be with you, and I want to teach you everything I know about the Father and about how to live a light and abundant and free life. Come to me. What do you think of that? Jesus loves you, sure. But Jesus actually likes you. Would you like to discover that more during the season? Does this raise questions for you? Does it raise some doubts, some suspicions, questions? I hope so. Those are good things to begin to explore this Lenten season, to bring those to the Lord. But for now, I want us to be able to have a response that helps us to anchor in this a little bit. At the back of your bulletin, I'm going to begin today, and it's on the screen too, but I'm going to begin today, and then we're going to kind of round it. We'll add to this over the next couple of weeks, okay? This is a response to the Word. It's based on different translations of our wonderful text this morning. I'm going to start with the regular parts, and then I want to invite you to read with me the bold parts. Would you please stand? The God who is our life says to us, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out by the demands of religion? The God who is our light says to us, learn from me. Learn from me. Learn from me. Learn from me keep company with me, watch how I do it.
Learn from me, live in me, and I will give you rest.
Amen. Please remember, friends, that we will have elders here on the sides, and if you have a prayer request, a prayer need, if something has come up for you that you really want to make sure that we as a church are supporting you and walking with you in prayer, then please take advantage of this opportunity just to share with them. You can stay confidential, but they'll pray with you. And, of course, the prayer cards are available for that purpose too. But sometimes we just need somebody to be Jesus for us, right? To look at us and go, okay, I see you and I see this need and pray with you in that. Are you ready to receive the benediction?
Yes.
And now, friends, may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us towards Him, beside Him, His yoke upon us to find deep rest, may this Jesus reveal to us the love of a generous, accepting Father, and may His Holy Spirit give us grace to learn how to live lightly in deeper and more freeing ways. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forevermore, uniting us to Him. Go in that wonderful peace and extend it to the world. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.